A braisa says schach that goes out of a sukkah is treated like the sukkah itself. Ula said this refers to schach that overhangs beyond the sukkah, and the braisa teaches that it's considered to be a valid sukkah as well. A sukkah needs three walls. The case is where there are three walls behind the sukkah. A sukkah needs to be 7 by 7 tefachim. The case is that the area has that measurement. A sukkah needs more shade than sun. The case is where there is more shade than sun. If so, what's the chiddush? The Gemara said, we would think that since the walls are really made for the interior of the sukkah and not for the area beyond the sukkah, that the back sukkah should therefore be possible. The Braisa teaches that it's kosher. Rabbi Rav Yosef said that the case discusses where the third wall of a three-wall sukkah extends beyond the parallel wall and the schach extends along with it. We would think that the extended area is considered its own sukkah and needs to meet the minimum measurements and have its own three walls. The Braisa teaches that it's part of the main sukkah and therefore it's kosher on account of the three walls of the main sukkah. Rabbi Rachanan and Rav Yechanan said, the Braisa means to discuss a sukkah whose majority is more shady than sunny, but which has one area that's more sunny than shady. We would think that the sukkah should be possible. The Braisa teaches that it's not. The Braisa means that the schach that goes out of a sukkah, meaning schach that is partly not valid, is still treated like a sukkah. Rabbi Shaya said, the Braisa refers to less than 3 tvachim apostles schach in a sukkah that's 7 by 7 tvachim. The Braisa teaches that it's a valid sukkah. The Braisa means that schach that goes out of a sukkah, meaning schach that is not fit under the halachot of sukkah, is still a valid sukkah. Rabbi Shaya asked, empty space of less than 3 tvachim does not passel a minimum size sukkah. So passel schach in that amount will clearly not passel either. So why did the Braisa have to teach us this? Rabbi Abba said, the cases are different because one may sleep under the passel schach but not under the empty space. Can it be that the empty space combines to make the minimum size sukkah but it's not considered valid to sleep under it? Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yashiv said, we find this concept regarding a mikveh where watery mud can combine to make the required 40 sa needed for the mikveh, but does not by itself provide tahara for someone who toivels in it itself. Zok the Mishnah, Rabbi Yitzchak says, if someone makes a sukkah shaped like a beehive, meaning the walls and the roof are one, or he leans his schach against the wall, it's pasul. The Chum say it's kosher. Dr. Gemara Braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if either of these are lifted a tefach off the ground, or if in the second case he separates the tefach from the wall, it will be a kosher sukkah. The Rabbanon say that it's kosher in the Mishnah because they say that sloping roofs have the status of a roof. Abaye Yisuda Rabbi Eliezer slept in a canopy bed with a sloping roof in a sukkah. He asked, you seem to hold like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a sloping roof is not considered to be a roof, because the Rabbanan say that it doesn't, therefore it should passel you from sleeping there inside the sukkah. Rabbi Yosef answered, I found the Braisa that says that it's the Rabbanan who say that a sloping roof does not have the status of a roof. Abaye asked, you're following a Braisa over a Mishnah? Rabbi Yosef said, we see in a Braisa that our Mishnah's version of the Machlokes only follows the view of Rav Nosson, which is Das Yochid, and therefore the version of the Braisa is the more correct version. Zuck the Mishnah, with regard to a large mat of reeds, if it was made for purposes of laying on it, it's mekabel tuma and therefore is not valid to be used for schach. If it's made to be used as schach, it's not mekabel tuma and therefore it is kosher to be used as schach. Rabbi Eliezer says, large and small mats, if they're made for laying on, they're mekabel tuma and they're not kosher for schach. And if they're made for schach, then they're kosher for schach and they're not mekabel tuma. In fact, the Gemara, the Mishnah has conflicting inferences. First, it says that only when made for laying on it, it's mekabel tuma, suggesting that if it's made without any specific intent, it's not mekabel tuma. Then it says if it's made for schach, it's not mekabel tuma, which suggests that if it's made without any specific intent, it is mekabel tuma. And for the Gemara, the first part of the Mishnah is discussing a large mat, which is typically made to provide shade. The second part of the Mishnah is discussing a small mat, which is typically made to lay upon. The same question applies to Rabbi Eliezer's statement in the Mishnah as well. However, the answer given can't be used there, because he's discussing both large and small mats, so you can't differentiate. The Rava answered, all agree that a large mat is typically made for providing shade, and therefore without intent to the contrary, it may be used for schach. The machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer is regarding a small mat. The Tanakhama says that it's typically, and therefore presumably, made to lay upon, and Rabbi Eliezer says that it's typically made to provide shade. The Mishnah should be understood as saying as follows. A large mat that was made to lay upon is mekabel tumah and may not be used for schach. If it's made without any special intention, it's treated as if it was made to provide shade and therefore may be used as schach and it's not mekabel tumah. Rabbi Eliezer argues and says that a small mat is treated like a large mat in all respects. Abaye asks, if this is the correct understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, then and he means to stress the status of the small mat, he should say whether a large mat or a small one, which shows that the small one is the one one that we would think should be treated differently. But instead he says whether a small one or a large one, which is not the proper order of what he should say if he means to be stressing the small mat. Secondly, Fektigamara, Braisa says Rabbi Eliezer is actually arguing regarding a large mat and says that even a large mat may only be used when it's expressly made for purposes of providing shade. So our Papa says, all agree that a small mat is presumably made for laying upon. The Machloikis is only regarding a large mat. The Tanakh comment says, without any express intent, it's presumably made to provide shade, and therefore it's valid to be used as schach. Eliezer says that it's presumably made for laying upon. The words of Eliezer can be explained as meaning that if it is made without express intent, it is treated as if it was made for laying upon.